It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
And welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. Happy Wednesday. And oh, by the way, quick plug. Where did we say they could find us again, Eric?
Of course. You can find the MRCTV podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, and of course on Podomatic. And a lot of you seem to be streaming it right from the MRCTV website.
Which is cool.
Which is cool. Wonderful as well.
Thank you for coming to our website. We appreciate it.
So, thanks for checking it out and taking a listen. This week, we're talking about the incredible, invisible, disappearing Green New Deal facts. They were there for a minute.
They were.
And then they weren't. And then that's not what she's endorsing. She's endorsing the other one. What she put out earlier was just some game plans. But they're really insightful. You can kind of tell from the early sketching out what they were thinking.
So here's what I've said before, like, I actually read the proposal itself, which it's not really a proposal. What is it? It's a resolution.
It's a resolution.
So we're resolving
to be green.
To take over the country with big government stuff.
Right.
Because I read the actual resolution, and then I read, of course, the original FAQs, and then they got ripped down, and, you know.
Yeah, original summary. Yeah.
There was like a whole bunch of stuff that got put out about it. And what I find really funny is, first of all, it wasn't so much like a plan as it was like a Dear Santa list written by Karl Marx. It was a socialist Christmas wish list. That's all it was. It wasn't like a, here are the things
Santa,
we like.
I'm bad at accents.
You know, I want
everyone to receive just to their means, exactly.
Well, even if you're unwilling to work, is what the original FAQ section that she ended up ripping off of her website said. And it said a whole bunch of, it talked about the cow farts. That was my very favorite part. There were a lot of really interesting parts, but the cow farts.
There are not, in my opinion, enough government documents with the term cow farts.
I don't know. Is that like, is this a new innovation that we want to plug money into? Like a cow butt plug that we just like stop up the fart? I don't know how you
let's
stop a
this.
Cow from
let's read,
farting.
Let's read this from the fact. This is from the original fact that was on Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's website that she took down and then said that there was fabricated ones by Republicans out there, even though there haven't been, to anyone's knowledge. We'll get into that in a bit, too.
No, I read this on her website.
Yeah, this is I downloaded it from her website before.
It was on the website.
We set a goal to get to net zero rather than zero emissions in 10 years because we aren't sure that we'll be able to fully get rid of farting cows and airplanes that fast. But we think we can ramp up renewable manufacturing and power production, retrofit every building in America, build the smart grid, overhaul transportation and agriculture, plant lots of trees. I love government things like that. Plant lots of trees.
That's a specific number, lots of.
Our ecosystem to get to net zero.
Cow farts and airplanes. If I ever start a band, that's going to be my album name.
Well, you
my
know,
debut
you won't
album,
be covering,
cow farts
you won't
and
be covering Elton John. Leaving on a light rail
Rocket
train.
Man.
It's a light rail train, right?
It's like, oh, that was John Denver.
Is that John Denver?
That was John
yeah,
Denver,
you're right.
Leaving
you're
on
right.
A jet
John
plane.
Denver. I'm thinking Rocket Man.
Wow. I'm so much younger than you.
I know. I'm okay. Confusing.
I totally
John
have
Denver
that John Denver
John.
Album.
They both have John in their name. Can you
well,
blame me?
Yeah, but John Denver, Elton John, way different. But we digress. All that to say, look, this is one of the dumbest things. I literally almost could feel my brain leaking out of my ears when I was reading this thing because it's so ridiculous. It's so far-fetched, you know, and when you're talking about one of my other favorite parts, I loved the line in the FAQ about, this was in the resolution itself, actually, was about, you know, those little car energy stations that you like plug your $100,000 Tesla into that everybody can obviously afford, building those everywhere. That was the word everywhere.
Well, it's kind of like
building
lots
them everywhere.
Of trees.
What does that mean? And who's going to do that? Plant lots of trees and put in energy stations everywhere. And the amazing part is how many other lawmakers she got to sign on to this nonsense.
I'm very excited about the support. We'll see. You know, when we introduce this legislation, we have a very large amount of co-sponsors in the Democratic caucus. We're at over 60 now, 60 original co-sponsors in legislation, which which is an enormous amount, and we even have more that weren't able to be original co-sponsors. So there are more that are co-sponsoring the legislation even after our initial rollout. I'm very excited. I see, and this includes broad support across the party. I'm very excited about it, and I'm really excited for our party's overall commitment to addressing this issue.
But I actually debated, and I use the term debate loosely, but I debated a feminist on Shudder TV the other day who was just going on and on and on about how this was going to save the planet and it was just the greatest thing ever and it's going to ensure the continuation of our species. And I'm sitting there going, you must not have read it, because only about maybe 25% of it was about the planet at all. The vast majority of this dumb thing was about how much can we possibly control. Take over.
Yeah, government control.
In the name of the planet.
Like I said, I like the fact that was taken down because it really gives you an insight on what they were thinking. You know,
but then the accusations came.
If it's an early draft in the resolution. But then they had that professor, her advisor, Robert Hockett, is his name, from Cornell University. He went on Tucker's show and basically said, oh, Tucker, paying people unwilling to work, well, that's not what we're talking about at all. That's misinformation. That's awful. And then we all find out that indeed, yeah, this was all in the original plan.
I took a screenshot of it from her website, the unwilling to work, ensuring incomes for those who are unable or unwilling to work, is what she said in the FAQ section. I mean, this is so, it's embarrassing. And I mean, I think too, one really strong indicator was before they even, well, I guess right about the time that they released this thing late last week, even Nancy Pelosi didn't take it seriously. Like, did you see what she said when they came up and they were asking her about it? And, you know, and all of these lawmakers were really serious about it. Nancy Pelosi's like, oh yeah, what, the green dream, is that what they call it? We don't really know what's in it, but they sure seem excited about it.
Speaker Pelosi called this the green dream.
No, I think it is a green dream. And I think that it is.
Nancy Pelosi's, I think that watching her, as much as I don't care much for Nancy Pelosi, watching her and the interactions with all of these freshman congressmen who have come in, who have all these big idealistic socialist, you know, goals and agendas, is really quite hilarious to me to watch it, you know, kind of be pit against, you know, here's Nancy Pelosi. She's been in the game for a long time. She knows what's going to work, what's not going to work. And when even she can't seem to school her own face about it, it's pretty telling.
Yeah. What did Mick Mulvaney say last week? He's like, it's interesting to watch the Democrats be divided and fight over this. And he's like, but I know where the Republicans stand, and they don't stand with this. Even though the early draft version says she has 64% of Republicans support the Green New Deal. I'm not quite sure how they came up with that number, because that's not what I'm hearing.
Republicans. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
92% of Democrats and 64% of Republicans support the Green New Deal. That's what the original fact claimed.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Campus Reform actually did a really good Man on the Street video the other day, where they went to a college and they asked college students, do you support this Green New Deal? You know, it's supposed to address climate change. And of course, all the college students were like, yeah, we support it. That's a great thing. And then they started reading off the parts that were actually in it, like, oh, by the way, we want to get rid of, say, you know, gasoline over the next 10 years. And we want to rebuild or retrofit every single building in the entire United
States.
That's
still in the resolution, yeah.
And even the college students were like, I can't get behind that. That doesn't sound very feasible. So it's very clear here that most people haven't even read it. And no, they don't support it. You can take the most, you know, far left college campus and then actually tell them what is in this resolution. And even they recognize that, look, maybe we want to do away with fossil fuels, but there's no way you're going to get rid of every single vehicle over the next 10 years. You're not going to do it.
It's actually just as hard as getting rid of cow farts.
I would say cow farts actually
harder. And
they're harder.
Sure that they're not.
But hey,
they can't get rid
perfect
of
solution
one.
To that. Perfect solution to that.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Go vegan. Cory Booker, right? Just came out. Go vegan. If everybody goes vegan and we just kill off all the cows and all the cows, you know, no cow farts.
All right. You mentioned Cory Booker. Let's get in this other part of the now taken down fact of the Green New Deal. Nearly every major Democratic presidential contender says they back the Green New Deal, including Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Jeff Merkley, Julian Castro, Kirsten Gillibrand, Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard and Jay Inslee.
Now that is true, I believe.
That was in the original document. It seems
most of them have come out backing it.
I can't vouch that I've read every single one of these back, but we know Cory Booker has.
Kamala Harris has. Gillibrand has.
Elizabeth
the 2020
Warren
contenders
about it
have
at her announcement. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the 2020 contenders have.
Yeah, which I do wonder, have they read it? Have they actually read the thing before just putting their stamp of approval on it?
I hope they read the original fact.
Because this thing, I mean, this is laughable. I actually, you know, I heard somebody describe it as if Republicans were to take the left's general stance on things and come up with a satirical plan that encompasses everything the left wants and really put it out there to its most extreme, that's what this would be. This reads like something that was written by someone who actually hates socialism, who's trying to mock what it wants. It's because it's so far out there.
There is no justice and there is no combating climate change without addressing what has happened to indigenous communities. That means that there is no fixing our economy without addressing the racial wealth gap. That means that we are not going to transition to renewable energies without also transitioning frontline communities and coal communities into economic opportunity as well. That is what this is about.
I mean, I loved Mazie Hirono's response to it, by the way. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Senator from Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness. Cannot stand Mazie Hirono. I really, truly can't. But it was absolutely hilarious when they came out with this Green New Deal, which, of course, calls for, like, getting rid of air travel because air travel bad, right? And her only response was, well, that wouldn't be very good for Hawaii.
Well, you know,
and all I could see was her, like, Aquaman on her little flying fish.
A very long train on a bridge, perhaps.
Or a yellow submarine.
Is what they're thinking in the future. I mean, really, it is. It is. It's just a gigantic growth of government. You know, it even says national mobilization on our economy through 14 infrastructure and industrial projects. Every project strives to remove greenhouse gas emissions and pollution from every sector of our economy. And, you know, one of the first things is repair and upgrade U.S. infrastructure. It's estimated at $4.6 trillion at a minimum.
We have no money. It's kind of like that guy from New York. The debt is too damn high.
The rent is too damn high.
We have no money. We're broke. We're in extreme debt. Let's be honest.
You know,
here.
But you gotta.
But her whole plan hinges on taxing billionaires. But then she says we shouldn't even have any billionaires, so we want to get rid of all the billionaires. And I'm like, well, then who are you going to tax?
No, exactly. It's a pie in the sky plan. It's funny if you go through it and you break it down, especially the original fact. And again, the original fact contains the word cow farts, which still just amuses me to no end.
It's hilarious.
But they had Robert Hockett on, and Tucker debated him. And of course, Hockett said, oh, that's not the plan we're talking about, paying people that are unwilling to work and doing this and doing that. And then, you know, Tucker's like, oh, we got it off your website.
Let's ask the obvious question. Why would we ever pay people who are, quote, unwilling to work?
We never would, right? And AOC has never said anything like that, right? I think you're referring to some sort of document some doctored document that somebody other than us has been circulating.
Oh, I thought that came right from her. That was in the background or from her office, is my understanding.
No. She's actually tweeted it out to laugh at it. If you look at her latest tweets, it seems that apparently some Republicans have put it out there. I don't know the details.
Oh, well, good. Well, then thank you for correcting me. I mean, because it seemed a little ridiculous. Almost as ridiculous as the idea that we're going to build enough light rail to make airplanes unnecessary, which I think actually is from the plan.
I don't know where you got that either, Tucker.
No, it's doctored. Man, did the media run with Hockett. Oh, Tucker gets schooled. You know, this is what happens when he goes outside his conservative bubble. And then they find out, actually, this is what she released on her website. They were correct. And he comes out. Even Hockett admits after the weekend that, oh, yeah, OK, this is what's originally out there. And then they put out this additional misinformation that Republicans have doctored it. And there's several doctored ones out there. Not that we've found those. These came from her website. But I got to hit this. This is the Washington Post fact check on this. They get Donald Trump, and, you know, they quote Trump as saying, you know, I think it's important for the Democrats to press forward with their Green New Deal. It'd be great for the so-called carbon footprint to permanently eliminate all planes, cars, cows, oil, gas, and military, even if no other country would do the same. Brilliant. Well, they claim he's wrong. But here's this. they take Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she says, hey, there's multiple doctor Green New Deal resolutions and facts floating around. There was also a draft version that got uploaded and taken down. And there's also draft versions floating out there. The point is, the real one, our submitted resolution, is HRES 109. Not the whole story.
No.
She gets not the whole story. Trump is wrong. President Trump is wrong because he's actually quoting the document that they put out. That's what he's.
Well, it's always going
to
be the. It's always going to be Republicans'
fault.
Well,
you know, and it's like, well, you know, we haven't found these other doctor documents, and they did seem to come from your website, but yeah, you know, it's not the whole story.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, whenever you have a gaffe like this, I mean, you remember when the Obamacare healthcare website rolled out. And it was just horrible and terrible and just a wonderful exercise in what happens when government tries to, you know, run things, you know. But it's always going to be the Republicans' fault. It's always going to be, well, you know, it wasn't my fault for putting something stupid out there. It was your fault for running with it and pointing it out. And I'm going to blame you.
Resolution 109 is much better.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, and so, look, this is exactly what they want. I think that they should own it. I think that AOC, in one vein, the one good thing that I think came out of this and has come out of her, frankly, is I think exposing exactly how radical their plans are, what they want. This is what they want. They want government takeover of everything. They want government takeover of your healthcare and your college, the entire education system, the energy sector, the environmental sector, agriculture, literally everything from sea to shiny sea. They want to be this, you know, socialist utopia, which we have seen has never worked out in the history of mankind.
Today is about the vision that we're putting forward and the actual legislative plan. And that is, right now, this legislative scope is the only legislative scope that has been presented in this Congress.
That's another thing that they'll say Republicans are wrong about. You know, socialism does work. It's just that nobody has tried it correctly. Venezuela didn't do it right. And that's why they're all eating zoo animals and, you know, starving to death. No, socialism doesn't work. It has never worked. It's never worked in any country that's ever tried it. You know, Finland actually just had a free money experiment that they tried. Little experiment that they tried to do where they didn't know if they wanted to implement it countrywide, so they did it small to start with. And they took two sample groups of unemployed people, and they gave one of them a guaranteed income of, I think it was like six. It ended up coming out to like $650 a month. So that's what you get from the government, a guaranteed income, right? And then the other group didn't get any. And they wanted to see if giving people free money would inspire them to get up and go get jobs. It didn't. Turns out that it didn't. They found that the people that they gave money to were no more likely to get up and go work for more money than the people that they didn't give free money to. So giving people free stuff, handing them free stuff, does not work. It has never worked. It bogs up the system. Look, if you need any more proof that what the United States government controls gets bungled, you need look no further than the metro that we have right here in DC.
Oh boy.
And look,
I've had really bad luck with the metro, and
it catches on fire all the time. I mean, people have actually died of smoke inhalation on the metro, and the government runs it.
Years ago, Brittany was actually agreed to watch my children when I went to a concert with my wife.
I did do that.
And we should have been back at a reasonable time. That was the original plan. But the metro caught on fire after the concert, and we kept having to get moved to further down to another metro, and then the smoke closed that one. Then we had to go to the next metro.
You were supposed to be home at like 10. You got home at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're passed out. We're passed out in your little media room. We were watching some movie. Luckily, his kids are pretty chill, so that ended up being okay. But
every time I have a big night out in D.C. or something, and I say, oh, you know, I don't want to drive it because I'm going to have, you know, I plan on going to the bar, and I don't want to risk having too much or anything like that, I say, I'll take the metro. It's always a flipping disaster. I never get back anywhere near the time.
And really, if you ever come to DC and you, I mean, the metro, people use it all the time.
Yeah,
it sucks. It does catch on fire. I don't think it's caught on fire here recently. They're trying to make some upgrades. It's costing, of course, a bazillion dollars, and it's never on schedule. Just don't try not to look at the carpet, because God only knows they carpeted the metro floor for some reason. And I have no idea why, because, you know, Friday nights are not good for metro carpet.
But you use the metro as an example. Now, let's talk about this, that, you know, the original idea is let's get rid of airplanes. Everything can be done on light rail. There's a reason.
Even Hawaii.
There's a reason that there's no private companies that operate passenger railroad is because it's not profitable.
Yes.
Historically, if you look, it's because the government didn't like the one percenters of the time, the railroad barons. And they said, well, we're going to regulate this. We're going to regulate that. We're going to make sure there's no kickbacks when you carry cargo. And basically, it became a
It became impossible to make money.
The shipping people decided they were going to go to trucking, mm-hmm. which at the time was completely unregulated after a lot of these bills passed beforehand. So there you have it. I mean, the only people that operate passenger rail is Amtrak, mm-hmm. which is subsidized by government dollars.
Heavily subsidized.
And
still sucks.
I can recently say for this organization, I had to go and conduct a shoot in New York City. And I was looking at taking the train because I figured I could save the company a few bucks. It was cheaper for me to fly round trip mm-hmm. than it was to take Amtrak mm-hmm. to New York City from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we just took the train a couple of weekends ago, went to visit my husband's family up in Connecticut, and we ended up getting a fairly good kind of last minute deal, you know, where they're trying to, you know, sell off their last minute tickets. But, you know, but again, it's I remember all the way up there. All the way up, they had the heat cranked up so high, I literally was like shedding clothes trying to get up there.
Well, you know, you're pregnant. You're carrying a baby.
Pregnant.
So, yeah, there could be
that
some
big
other,
yet,
you know,
throwing
but
me
I'm
under
just
the
saying
bus.
There could be some other things involved. Maybe you just
no, I blame the government, Eric.
Oh, okay.
It's the government. No, really. But no, but you look at it. I mean, the healthcare system, right? You know, government comes over, takes over the healthcare system, and everybody says, okay, well, you know, they should come in and they should regulate everything to make sure that things are cheaper, make sure that people can afford things. Look, I'm all for people being able to afford health care, health insurance, their medications. And I understand that we've got some issues in that right now. Very familiar with that. Got members of my own family that struggle to afford some of the stuff that they need. You know, but again, it's not that people on the right don't recognize that some of these things are problems. It's that what makes us different from the left, and particularly those on the radical socialist end of the left, is we simply don't believe that government is the solution to these problems. It's not that we don't recognize that there are things that need to be fixed or that there are, you know, social ills that we could probably make better for people. But government isn't the solution. The private sector is the solution. Innovation is the solution. Creating competition is the solution. Because when the government comes in and controls it, I mean, so the government comes in, takes over the pharmaceutical industry. How motivated are people going to be to develop new drugs or new medical technologies if there's a cap on how much you can make, on how much money you're going to... Nobody's going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on medical school to go into a government-controlled
exactly.
sector that they can't make money off of.
It's the same with government-controlled healthcare. Once you start deciding what the maximum a doctor is going to make, you know, basically you're dictating what they should be getting, what they should get paid. And, you know, if they don't like it, people aren't going to be interested in going into that particular industry. And if you mandate these people to treat people, then basically you have government enforced mm-hmm. slavery. So
which is why doctors are leaving Venezuela now. And actually, patients in Venezuela have been asked to, when they come in for surgery, some hospitals have started requiring that they actually bring their own scalpels because the hospital does not have the
really?
Equipment.
I haven't heard that. Bring
yes,
their own
scalpels. Bring their own scalpels.
BYOS.
So I don't know if you don't have one, do you just bring like a paring knife from your kitchen drawer? I don't know. But yeah, you are asked to bring your own scalpels because they don't have enough equipment to do surgery on you. I mean, how would that be? Here you go, doc. You know, I boiled it in some water at home. Hope this works out for you.
Well, you know, I guess if you catch something from the untreated surgical implements, then you have no one to blame but yourself.
I guess if you have to go in for surgery from, you know, some horrible infection that you got from eating the zebra that's been laying dead in the street for 4 days, I don't know. It's bad down there. I'm telling y'all, it's bad. But that's just socialism that hasn't been implemented correctly. That's what that is. So was Russia.
But boy, they really want to try it here with this Green New Deal. Many of the candidates coming up on the presidential side have talked about this deal, something they endorse. I don't know if that's going to help them in the long run. It seems definitely, if you read President Trump's tweets, he's definitely like, go ahead, support this all you want.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I've said, because, you know, a lot of people, I don't put a whole lot of stock in polls, but, you know, the media loves to point at polls, especially any time that Trump's approval rating drops at all or people disagree with him on any issue. And they like to use these as indicators for 2020, you know, because, of course, they want to be able to predict that he's going to fall flat on his face, fail and fail badly. One thing that I've always said is, look, you have to remember, nobody expected him to win in 2016, too. And part of the reason that he did was, yeah, he did have his base, but they were actually a fairly small subset of the Republican Party. A lot of people turned out to vote for Trump, not because they loved Trump, but because they really couldn't stand Hillary. And they were absolutely terrified of a United States under Hillary. So I do think that one thing that, you know, these polls can't predict is I think a lot of Trump's success potentially in 2020 is going to be dependent on who the Democrats put up as their nominee. And I think the more radical left they go, look, you know, you want to talk about polls. There was a recent YouGov poll that showed that, you know, younger people are leaning more and more socialist than they ever have before. It's split about 50-50.
Well, look at AOC's popularity.
Which, of course, is scary.
On social media, yeah.
But that same exact poll showed that the vast majority of Americans still heavily favor capitalism, 56-37%. So I think that if you put up a radical socialist who has, you know, I mean, we're talking about resolutions that call for eliminating airplanes, cow farts, and rebuilding every single building in the United States, put somebody like that up, I don't think that's what Americans want. And I think that that's going to play really heavily into the next election. I think that's an important factor.
And that's going to have to play us out. We are simply out of time. Thanks for joining us on the MRC TV podcast. Be sure to download us on iTunes, Google Play, and listen to us on Spotify. Until next week, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. See you next time.